Sure Shame Podcast, shining a light to the nations.
Shalom, everybody. I'm Bill Cloud, and welcome to this week's Torah Tidbit. This week, the tidbit is going to be taken from our portion called Emor, which literally means to say. While the previous Torah portion addressed the entire nation in a call to be holy, this portion, Emor, now turns to the priest and addresses their responsibility to separate themselves to even higher standards of purity. And so our portion begins in Leviticus chapter 21, beginning at verse 1. And the Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the priests, the sons of Aaron, and say to them, none shall defile himself for the dead among his people, except for his relatives who are nearest to him, his mother, his father, his son, his daughters, and his brother." And then going down to verse 4, it says this, "Otherwise, he shall not defile himself, being a chief man among his people, to profane himself." And so the bottom line here in these verses is that the priests were to be holy in all matters, 24 hours a day, every day of the week, all year round. They were not to contaminate themselves as priests, and even when they were not performing priestly duties, which accentuates the fact that anyone, anything that is going to approach or come near to a holy God must be perfect and must train themselves to abstain from profaning themselves. Now, I believe it bears noting that as believers, you and I are called to be a royal priesthood. And as such, this royal priesthood should regard God's standards for the sons of Aaron as an admonishment to us to do the same. In other words, we are to be a holy people all the time, 24 hours a day, every day of the year. Our lives should always sanctify His name as opposed to profaning it. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is a very critical component of this particular Torah portion. In fact, in Leviticus chapter 22, verse 32, the Creator tells us something very important. He says, "You shall not profane my holy name, but I will be hallowed among the children of Israel. I am the Lord who sanctifies you." There are some rabbinical sources that refer to this particular verse as Israel's Bible in little, meaning that everything written in Scripture boils down to this, that is, we are not to profane His name, or Chilul Hashem, but to sanctify His name, Kiddush Hashem. And this is a command that is not just for the priest, but for all of Israel. And so then I think it's important to discuss or to ask the question, what does it mean to profane the name? Some are of the opinion that this has to do with how one pronounces or mispronounces the name Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, the sacred name. Some insist that this name should be pronounced Yahweh, others Yahweh or Yahuwah, Yehovah, etc. And frankly, and I'm being honest here, I'm not sure how it should be pronounced, not 100%, and I'm not convinced that that's what the Creator was referring to when He said, "Don't profane my name." Now, I'm going to read you some verses that kind of help explain why I believe that. In Leviticus 18, verse 21, "You shall not let any of your descendants pass through the fire to Molech." Of course, Molech, we understand, was an idol in the land of Canaan. "Nor shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord." And in a similar theme, in chapter 20 of Leviticus, he says this beginning in verse 2. "Again, you shall say to the children of Israel, whoever of the children of Israel or of the strangers who dwell in Israel, who gives any of his descendants to Molech, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones, and I will set my face against that man and will cut him off from his people, because he has given some of his descendants to Molech to defile my sanctuary," and here's what we wanted to emphasize, "and profane my holy name." And so then, by offering to Molech, these people profaned God's name. So I guess my question would be, what does causing your children to be offered to Molech, to an idol, have to do with correctly pronouncing or mispronouncing the name Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh? Well, actually, nothing. It seems to me it has nothing to do with that, but rather it has to do with the actions of these people to offer their heritage, their children, to a worthless idol. That is how they profaned his name. Or put another way, we sanctify or desecrate his name by our behavior, especially our public behavior, because it has everything to do with how we regard his authority, whether we submit to it or reject it. The Hebrew word shem literally means name, but it's derived from a root word that means reputation or authority. And that's important, I believe, when you consider what Messiah said in John chapter 5. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? So here's why I read this. I want to understand what he was saying. Is it that he was saying to them, I've come correctly pronouncing my Father's name, but you will only receive those who pronounce their own name properly? Well, that doesn't seem likely. Or was he saying, I have come in my Father's authority, upholding his reputation, but you receive those who come in their own authority to build up their own reputation? So which of those two makes more sense to you? Well, in my view, it's the latter. And so then, to profane his name isn't about how one pronounces the sacred name Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, although I believe that there is a correct way to do it, and one day I believe all will know. But to profane his name is about how one responds to his authority as the sovereign of the universe and how one represents him to the world. It's about how our lives affect his reputation among those that we come in contact with. For instance, one person can sanctify his name by their righteous actions, and one person can bring infamy upon his name by a public failing. And when it comes to that, the public failing, you know and I know, the world is always ready to ridicule God's people when that happens. When a failure occurs, the world is like a wild beast, and it's ready to pounce on those. And consequently, his name is desecrated. I might add that, unfortunately, a lot of God's people do the same thing. They pounce on those who fall, and his name is profaned even more so. And thus, ladies and gentlemen, we are called to sanctify his name in every situation, 24 hours a day, every day of the week, to the point that we may even be required to give up our life if the alternative is to profane his name. When we're faced with the choice between idolatry or death, or forbidden relationships or death, we're to choose death. And as extreme as that sounds, to do otherwise is to profane his name. To choose death under those circumstances is to sanctify his name. Furthermore, if one is called upon to do this, that person should do so without expecting a miracle to happen. We are expected to act as Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men knew that God was capable of delivering them from death, but they were prepared to go to that length, even if he did not perform a miracle. And here's the incredible thing about that whole scenario. Someone who's prepared to do so, to go to their death without expecting a miracle, is what actually sets the stage for the miracle. So whether we sanctify or profane his name doesn't just have to be in a public setting. In private, when a person withdraws or flees from a sin, because that is what would please God, that person sanctifies the name or profanes it if he does otherwise. Furthermore, we must sanctify his name even among our own people. Something, by the way, that even Moses didn't succeed in each and every time, as we're told in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32. It says this, beginning in verse 49. Go up this mountain of the Abarim, Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, across from Jericho, and view the land of Canaan, which I give to the children of Israel as a possession. Now, this was the sad part. And he tells Moses, and die on the mountain which you ascend, and be gathered to your people, just as Aaron your brother died on Mount Hor and was gathered to his people. And here's the reason why. Because you trespassed against me among the children of Israel at the waters of Meribah Kadesh in the wilderness of Zin, because you did not hallow or sanctify me in the midst of the children of Israel. And so this is what he says to Moses. Thus we see that this is a very serious matter, that is to sanctify his name. And to accentuate the point, he reminds them that he is the one that brought them out from Egypt. And he says, more or less, to the people of Israel, you're mine, and I have a right to make certain demands of you. And one of those demands is that we sanctify his name and that we do not profane it. So then when our failures bring reproach upon his reputation, we have profaned his name. But also, our response to another's failure can also profane or sanctify his name in the sight of all who are watching. You see, we are a royal priesthood, and we are expected to conduct ourselves in that matter at all times. And so then, whether it's in public, in private, and among our own, let's do our utmost to make sure that his reputation is not stained by our actions or words or attitudes. And that's this week's Torah Tidbit. Shalom.
Like what you're hearing? Become a BillCloud Premium Partner to watch or listen to hundreds of hours of teachings and resources on demand. Go to BillCloud.com/subscribe to start watching today.